flesh and the bone, the bend of the road, a slingshot stone, a fish, a flash, a silvery glow, a fighter bat, the range of the bow, the bed of the well, the end of the line, the dismay in your face is a loss, it's a fine, a spear, a spike, a point, a nail, a trip, a drop. The end of a tale, a truckload of bricks in the soft morning light, the sound of a gun in the dead of the night, a mile, a must, a thrust, a bump, it's a girl, it's a rhyme, it's a cold, it's a mumps, the plan of the house, the body in bed, and the car that got stuck, it's the mud, a float, a drift of light, a wing, a hawk, a queen. The promise of spring and the riverbank chalks are the waters of March, the end of all strain, the joy in your heart. The joy in your heart. A snake, a stick, it is John, it is Joe. It's a cut in your hand and a thorn in your toe. A point, a grain, a beat, a bite, a blink, a buzzer, a sudden stroke of night, a pin, a needle, and a sting, a pain, a snake, a riddle, a wasp, a sting, passing the mountains.
Hello out there, this is Jello Biafra. If you're tired of the OCA, Walt Disney, Westinghouse, General Electric, and police departments telling you what you should listen to, stay tuned in to KBOO Portland, listener-sponsored, non-commercial community radio, 90.7 on your FM dial, unless your FM was made in America.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The nominating committee meets on the second Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Tune in to Cubby Cushy, Cubby Cush, Tuesday nights on KBOO. 2 hours of global bass with an emphasis on South Asia and the South Asian diaspora, and an even more special emphasis on the Punjabi diaspora. Hosted every Tuesday, 10 to midnight, by The Incredible Kid. This ain't world music, it's birth of a new world music.
Makes you such a threat.
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Chasha.
Get out on a Kia to kill my
Ambete washtelo le unkipiki he washtelo. Okama zi woglake elanta taya anamakopeyo. Oyate toka he wichokie, nachapi naha yuho, chante washte na pechu zapielo. Yokasi le mielo. Le umbetuki lila mataya. This is Birth Voices Radio. This is an all native hosted and native produced First Voices Radio. And our producer is Liz Hill, the Red Lake Ojibwe, and I'm your host, Teoksin Ghost Horse, from the Cheyenne River, Lakota. Today, I'm feeling really well, and our guest today is frequent and a longtime visitor and supporter of First Voices Radio, and Stephen Newcomb with Shawnee Lenape has been researching the history of U.S. federal Indian law and policy for four decades. He is recognized as one of the world's leading authorities on the doctrine of Christian discovery and the influence of the Vatican papal decrees of the 15th century of U.S. law. He has published several law review articles on the subject. His book, Pagans in the Promised Land, Decoding the Doctrine of Christian Discovery, published by Fulcrum, 2008, is a basis for the doctrine of discovery. Unmasking the Domination Code, documentary movie directed by Sheldon Wolfchild with Dakota, and OriginalFreeNations.com and Indigenous Law Institute are two websites where some of his work can be found and where he can be contacted. I would like to welcome you, Steve, to First Voices Radio. It's always an honor, and thanks for coming once again.
Wanishi. Yokosan, thank you. It's good to be with you. Really good to be with you.
Steve, thank you for, again, the work you've done. And what I'm wanting to know, because there are listeners out there who heard you say, you know, talk about the Christian discovery, doctrine of discovery. And a lot of people, you know, I know this is sort of a speculative answer. There's also, you know, what happens if the Pope rescinds and it's the longer effect, that world that is imagined and, you know, that we say is reality now, of the Western way of life is no longer. And what happens in such a thing as post-doctrine of discovery or post-indoctrination, which I'm more concerned since it feels like the work you've been doing is reaching that point where the doctoring is almost complete, where there's no other exit strategy but that the one that you were talking about. But what I'm saying is what comes after the indoctrination, regardless post-indoctrination, but the people will still be indoctrinated about the way domination works in the Western society. Your thoughts, please give us an overview of the work you've been doing and maybe the question. Thank you.
Sure, Jokson. Well, I think that I want to start out by setting a context real quick. And that context begins with the original free existence of our nations and peoples extending back to the beginning of time. And the contrast between that free existence and the system of domination that was carried by ship across the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean over here for Turtle Island. And once we have that contrast, then we have a second contrast, which you helped me to gain insight into, which is the view from the shore of our ancestors looking out at those ships invasively sailing toward them, and the view from the ship, the deck of the ship looking toward our ancestors. Those people on those ships and the ones in charge of those voyages were embarking on those voyages, engaging in that effort to identify other parts of the planet on the basis of specific documents. And some of those documents were issued by popes in the Vatican. And when I began to read those documents in Latin and English in 1989, I didn't really have much of an understanding at that time, initially, just some general understandings of language that I had picked up when I was just starting out, and people from like Vine Deloria Jr. And Kirk Kickingbird and 100 Million Acres and Vine Deloria's God is Red. And we picked up terminology as young people that we didn't really examine. We just began to use it and thought that was the correct language. And for me, eventually, after I began to really get deep into the Latin language and the English translation of that Latin language and working with the Latin English dictionary and reflecting and pondering all these things for many, many, many years, and even decades, those years turned into decades and so forth, I eventually realized that focus on the word discovery is the wrongful focus, in the sense that the documents are specifying that they are needing to go forth and sail across the ocean to identify lands that meet a certain description. And you could use different words to identify that description. But if you go with the Latin terminology of a sentence that, for example, talks about lands discovered and to be discovered that they're going to set out to identify, then they're saying que sub actuali dominio temporali aliquorum dominorum Christianorum constitute non essent. And what that means is the lands that are not under the actual temporal domination, dominio is the word in Latin, of any Christian dominators, dominorum Christianorum. Once we've identified that, then we have the premise of their entire worldview, their entire reality system, which is premised upon a claim or an assumption that they have a right of domination, that wherever they go, they carry that right of domination with them, and they therefore have a license and the prerogative and the privilege to begin to establish their domination where it does not yet exist. So once I began to have insight into those types of subtleties, then I realized, well, we're talking about doctrine of discovery as if discovery is the problem. And discovery is really just a way of talking about new knowledge. It's a way to identify, oh, they're going to look for new knowledge of geography across the planet, but they have a reason why they're doing that, and the reason why is so they can establish domination and gain the riches and wealth and power that goes with that domination, that the domination brings to them. So now, all these centuries later, more than five centuries later, we see that the whole global order, the New World Order, as some people refer to it, and all of these power brokers, the big players of corporate reality and governmental, meaning dominational reality, are all based upon the game called domination. Instead of monopoly, it's domination. And so the post-domination world, what would that look like? We couldn't even begin to conceive of it. And I think what the goal of a lot of these power brokers is to make sure that eventually there will be nothing but domination forever. Because in the Vatican Papal Bull, there's a Latin term used, in perpetua, which means eternally or forever. So they're granting these supposed authorities, which I think they're not valid at all, but they treat them as valid, and they act upon them, and they have been acting upon them for centuries as if they're valid. So from their viewpoint, from the ship, yeah, they consider them valid, and that's what they're working to establish, is a lockdown on the planet mentally and physically and emotionally and psychologically, total control, total dominion, total domination. And so because they have so much going for them in terms of what they've managed to garner in the way of power and influence and control, the techno
technocracy. They're trying to create an AI governmental system, dominational system. It's hard to say what that will look like, and whether there will be any, as you use the term, exits from that once they get that in place, if they get it in place, because there are those of us who are saying hell no to that agenda.
You talked about, you know, in perpetuity or eternal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I thought, this is what I'm saying, is the post indoctrination really will get rid of post, because it's going to take a long while. It's like when native people are eventually, and from what I see, being colonized more and more so. So every generation or away from that way of life, the way of living for indigenous peoples, we get influenced by the domination and kind of lose that. So the reversal of that is still possible. And because it's taken a while to be colonized, but they still are acting in the same framework. They came as usual, discovered as we know. And there was a story that came from back home maybe 20 years ago when I talked about the doctrine, Christian doctrine of discovery, and I explained it very simply to a group of elders that are no longer here. And I explained, when they heard the word discovery, they all smiled. And then one woman just burst out in laughing. And soon he had a room full of elders that were laughing because they know about discovery. So this is how we've kept it underground and secret, because this is our knowledge that we weren't discovered.
This is a coordinated monthly test of the emergency alert system through broadcast stations in the greater Portland, Vancouver area, including Clackamas, Columbia, Multnomah, and Washington counties in Oregon, and Clark County in Washington. With the cooperation of public safety, broadcasters, and cable operators, this system informs you of events that pose an immediate threat to your life, health, or property. If this had been an actual emergency, official information would have followed the alert tone. This test was originated by Clark Regional Emergency Services Agency in Vancouver, Washington. This concludes this test message.
I'm interested to discover your experience with going to various nations. You know, when they understand, it's that great wake-up call. I think that they have, once they understand simply what you've been explaining to them. Your thoughts?
Well, sometimes I feel that we are almost at the same starting point that we were when we first started out. Because I think people have gotten into the habit of saying the words doctrine of discovery and decolonization, you know, land back, a lot of these different terms. But the extent to which there's a deeper comprehension of what all that really means, the effort to really go deeper into it and understand on a deeper level what it is we're up against, I'm not so sure about that. And I keep trying to explain it, but I don't know if I've been very effective over the decades. And I say that because domination is a weird, strange word in English. It doesn't seem to be a word in common usage. And you know that it's there, you'll occasionally hear it, but people don't typically use that word when they're speaking. And they don't use the word when they're writing. And if you examined the language used by the vast majority of people, it's a little bit different now because we've been talking about domination for a while, but the vast majority for the longest time, including myself, We never used that word domination. If you go back and look at our Indigenous Law Institute website, I have the empire domination model as what I'm identifying in there. That's all the way back to the early to mid 1990s, when I had already understood this information and was attempting to put it out there. But I think that we need to kind of redouble our efforts to comprehend that when we look at the legacy of the so-called boarding schools, which were indoctrination, let's put it a different way, genocidal indoctrination centers, the intention to destroy in whole or in part entire nations or peoples, that's genocide. So those so-called boarding schools and the theft of those children, the kidnapping of those children and forcing them into those centers so that they could cut us off from our languages that had been evolved and have been existing for thousands of years, countless generations, that's all domination. And you go and look at the accounts of the brutality, the sadistic brutality. One elder said to my daughter's surrogate mom about Chamawa Indian School, he said it on an open mic. He said, there's blood in these walls. You know, there, in other words, that deadly part of those institutions. You go to Sherman Indian School over in Riverside. We went over there to do some filming. There were 70 unmarked headstones, unmarked graves, I should say. 70 unmarked graves, and 527 of those institutions on the U.S. side of the U.S.-Canadian border. And if you do the math, if there's an average of, say, 50 children that died during the time of that institution was existing, and you do the math, it's 26,000 children that perhaps died while they were under the control of those institutions. So it's, there's so much to it, and that's the challenge that I think we face, is trying to become more comprehensive in our understanding of the overall totality of the system and how the system of domination, I should say. There's a tendency to abbreviate that to just call it the system, but it's the system of domination. And to get to that more comprehensive understanding, so we can realize, when you have the tar sands, that's all domination, all that toxicity, all those carcinogens all through Akwesasne, the Mohawk territory, Haudenosaunee territory, Lake Onondaga, all the poisons in there, the Superfund site that is the location of the origin story of the Onondaga people, and on and on and on. All these things that we could list with the radioactive waste in the 55-gallon drums at Hanford Nuclear Facility, and that radioactive liquid has been leaching into the groundwater and into the Columbia River since for the past several decades. And we could just go down the list. And so I began to ask, well, what part of it isn't domination? I guess that's the question I'm at now. And I think that all roads lead to Rome is a old expression, but all roads lead to domination is what that means. So yeah, it's very comprehensive. And our whole effort to deal with the papal bulls, the papal documents that are called bulls because of the lead bubble or ball that was used, the lead that was used to seal them, bula for ball, and the papal decrees of various popes saying to go and establish domination where it does not yet exist, all of that is still being carried out today. It hasn't ended. And we were attempting to use that effort to call upon Pope John Paul II to formally revoke, not to repudiate the doctrine, which is just say, yeah, we disagree with that, but to actually revoke those old documents so that there would be a way to say that, okay, we're closing out that claim of a right of domination and beginning to create a world order or just a way of life on this Mother Earth that's not based upon those patterns of thought and behavior that have been so destructive to the planet, to everything on it.
You know, you're activating our hearts or minds or their sacred sites. And, you know, not to be self-appointed, but to understand these ideas that you are talking about is where, you know, in the beginning, because the domination, you said, is not frequently heard, but possessions, which domination leads to ownership, and ownership leads to possessive language. And in that, we have to defend whatever we dominated. And I think that's what's at play now. And just to understand it very simply, for lots of people, they're, you know, that indoctrination is not only among Native peoples now, but how to be a good American. But it's the opposite for me, is like they're are good Americans and who don't understand. It's like doing the right thing according to the rules and laws of its religion or whatever, but feeling terrible. It's the right story, wrong story type of life. And I think that's coming to culminating actually as needing change. And I think the even the rescinding of the discovery documents, and it goes deeper, like you say, but that what we need to realize personally, and this is what's needed. But I wanted to leave you with the final thoughts and make sure that people know that I'll make sure that people know where we can talk about the website and still have discussions. And we'll probably see you again in some other format. And but thank you for all these years of coming to First Forces Radio.
Well, I want to just get real personal right now and say what a wonderful pleasure it's been to be able to be with you from time to time on the radio, and just to know you as the profound, wonderful, beautiful, extraordinary human being you are, Teal'c'c'sin, and just your friendship means everything to me. You're one of the greatest friends, and somebody who, you know, those people that we can have heart-to-heart conversations with at such a profound level, in a way that is impossible with most other people. And so I just thank you very much for everything you've done over the years, over these decades, to assist people to come to a deeper understanding of what the traditional Native worldview and thought and way of interacting with life is all about. And so my big huge pilamia wopila to you.
Well, thank you for those great words, and they are very nourishing and helpful. And for those of you who want to, please listen to Steve Newcomb, you know, throughout the archives of First Forces Radio, which is being worked on currently. And those would be categorized. So, as you know, it's Steve Newcomb. He's probably done at least 30 interviews here on First Forces Radio throughout those years, those decades, actually. And again, thank you for being here. And Doksha Ake Wachyank Delo. And we'll see you again eventually.
Originalfreenations.com is one website, and then also ShaunaBlueStar.com is my daughter's website, and she has wonderful information about the reverence code as a contrast to the domination code system. And we're working together now. And thank you so much, Teal'c'c'sin. Really appreciate it. And everyone, take care.
This is Teal Kusin, Ghost Tourist. Thank you for joining us here at First Voices Radio. It's an interesting first half with Steve Newcomb and the indoctrination thought process, how we don't think about what's going to happen after post-capitalism when it really needs to balance out with Earth. We don't understand that because we're not speaking the language of that post-indoctrination, post-capitalism, because it's imbued in the people's thinking process, thought process now. But to think about how, because we're not working on it, we can say decolonization, we can say deprogramming, but part of this programming is the acceptance, the acquiescence to artificial intelligence, that it's always going to be like this, which I know is untrue, because Earth changes. Human beings think that they are changing by replacing real intelligence with artificial intelligence. It's like trying to replace intuition with artificial intuition. There's no such thing. So just things about thinking like that, you know, keeps you thinking. Well, at least it does myself. And last week's program with Tink Tinker about dualism. How binary are we? We're caught up with what I call the parabox. Not paradox, but parabox, where this built this box of inferior, superior, beginning, ending, cause and effect. Is we are defining, trying to find meaning in definition without stepping outside of that parabox, where a lot of indigenous thinking and peoples all over the planet, or their language is such that it can never just say binary dualism. So now you couple dualism with domination, and there's a missing piece more than just that. So now I'm thinking about intuitive languages that are going to be needed post-indoctrination, or the indoctrination that we have to wean ourselves off of, because that indoctrination is actually an addiction to thinking binary, one way, and domination formats. Okay, so that's thoughts I'm thinking. Let's go to the music, and I'll be back. I'm going to talk about the book that's being ready as we speak right now, Earth Mind. I'll do that later after some music, some of my favorites, actually. And since this is my second to last show, I think I've earned a little bit of that space and time. Stay tuned.
Friday night, boys and girls, I see drunk and running around like ants. They all just want to be heard and seen, speaking their minds and taking their stance. Some are real happy and some are mean. Some are just looking for quick romance. They want to be part of the popular scene, so they dress the part and take their chance. Boys and girls are acting real strange, pretending they're welders and cowboys and such, buying old work gear from the exchange, but you can tell their hands don't do very much. Saying me, 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 more cowboy than you, I swear. Everyone's glued to their flickering screens, faces illuminated in the dark. Their pockets are full and their cars are clean. Their biggest worry is where they should park. So if you see cowboy hats and boots, chances are it's on Daddy's dime. They're all in the bathroom snorting their toot, having a mighty expensive time. Saying me, 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 more cowboy than you. I swear that I'm working class through and through. Saying me, 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 more cowboy than you.
The same tomorrow. I see you meet all up at the mall. I know what goes on. You've got that empty feeling in your soul. You spend till it's gone. There's some needless shit out there. Let's see what it is. With your plastic in your pocket, it's need and release. Ooh, you feel just the same tomorrow. You cruise on autopilot, need a new fix. The latest fashion of the season, you couldn't resist. Is it not enough? Is it not enough? Is it ever enough? Is it never enough? Is it not enough? Is it not enough? Is it ever enough? Is it never enough?
no solution to the system. Convoluted, many factions. We need love, we need action. Constitution, really strong. Resolution, moving on. Someday we'll get
I've been riding waves, child, guilt through all my days, child. How this place was settled, the murder and the shame. Secrets being exposed, child, truth we must uphold, child. Constant fight for justice to pave the way for change. Living in denial, going through the same old cycle. Penal colony survival, depending on your ball and chain. System gonna customize you, the man ain't gonna redefine you. Gotta hunt like a nighttime spider, depending on your ball and chain.
Spirit up, but see my soul is getting heavy. Pressure on my back and I could barely hold it steady. In a cold world, but daily I keep sweating, cause I'm vulnerable, locked in a system that's so deadly. And now I'm racing to build a foundation, to raise a better life for the younger generation. Discriminations, we have to change those, and mix up all colors to form a rainbow. Cause this ball and chain has incarcerated my freedom. Born into the system and wasn't given a reason. Same cycle continues and follows the same sequence. Screaming for a change and it's bringing that in the demons. This ball and chain got me feeling some type of way. Ball and chain got me feeling like I'm a slave. It's like I'm swimming out, but an anchor's got me drowned. But still I survive, and to keep alive I gotta pray to break free.
We may find the need to mix up all the colors. Break down the walls of race. Get among, gotta do your time now. Gotta take it in your stride now. Gotta make what you can come alive now. Depending on your ball and chain.
Wow, that was a lot of music. To some, probably not enough. I was playing some of my favorites, which may not be your favorites, but hey, that's what I played. The first one was with Me More Cowboy Than You. But the real title is Me More Cowboy Than You. by the Broody Brothers, B-R-U-D-I, Brothers. It was about fake cowboys dressing the part, but not actually being cowboy. It's like people dressing up like natives, and they know nothing about being native except either being enrolled or hearsay or association with a neighbor. My friend was an Indian type of thought process. Then came Enough by Kingfisher, followed by World Spirit, which is one of my new favorites. And it's by Greg Kofi Brown and Nova Cento, N-O-V-E-C-E-N-T-O. And one of the all-time favorites, Ball and Chain by Xavier Rudd and Jay Milla, J/M-I-L-L-A. So now, after that flurry of music, I'd like to talk to you about this book, and I've been saying it over the last few years probably, Earth Mind, that I'm co-authoring along with fellow authors Bob Toth and John Briggs, respectively. I wanted to tell you a little bit about the book Earth Mind. As I said before and repeatedly, is that in writing this book, we have made every effort to respect our readers by not telling them what actions to take if they agree with us on the importance of allocentric consciousness to life on Earth. We propose no new ideology, philosophy, or religion. No to-do list steps in order to establish a new Earth mind-centered culture and fix the problems created by modern humans' aggressively anthropocentric approach to pretty much everything. We think that proposing solutions will only lead people back into more anthropocentric thinking, falling into the trap of trying to fix the harm created by thinking by applying more of it. Proposing solution is comforting, but it hasn't worked very well, and we need to go deeper. Reclaiming and reawakening our indigenous awareness calls for something completely different, incomprehensible to most people, as Native peoples have been for thousands of years in shaping their cultures in harmony with nature, with Mother Earth. As we've tried to show, they have been immensely creative in how they did this, finding beautiful and subtle ways to keep the wholeness of the universe always in mind and in action, living their cultures with respect for Mother Earth. This was a creative and intuitive process of interacting with nature instead of trying to dominate nature. And at this point, no one knows what a new indigeneity and new indigenous world culture might look like or what route might be found to get there. Building the fifth world, unquote, as Hopi elder Fernan Mazayezva says, is a matter of individual and collective intuition, inspiration, and a goodwill. Knowing a little bit about the earth mind may help as people wrestle with their own consciousness and its relationship to the natural world. And we hope so. And since I'm running out of time here, I'm only going to conclude that meanwhile, one might notice that Mother Earth's clouds are reflected in a glass wall of skyscrapers. Her pebbles click in the onrushing waters of mountain streams, and her forests cover rolling hills. Her animals weave intricate patterns. A hawk circles. A turtle digs to lay eggs in desert sands. And the Earth Mind, this book, brings awareness, not of how we can save Mother Earth, but of how Mother Earth can save us. And that will be Earth Mind. That's the end note. Look forward to that in the future. Just remember this email, tiokasin@gmail.com. If you want to respond, that's tiokasin@gmail.com. And for those of you who really want to stay in contact, there is the Facebook with Tiokasin Ghost Horse. There is the Instagram, which I hardly ever go to, and the platform of Patreon. I'm also there. And of course, firstvoicesradio.org, which will soon be updated. And it's, as we speak, it is being updated. So look forward to that in the future. firstvoicesradio.org or any show going as far back as I can remember, which is I don't remember. Okay? But there's a lot there. And you can find a subject or something that you're looking for and hope to be more comprehensible about finding space for First Voices Radio in the future. Remember now, I'm not retiring. I may be transitioning, moving into these dimensions that are still offered in life. Doksha Ake Wachyang Telo. We'll see you one more time for First Voices Radio. Its final episode next week. Thank you all these years to you beautiful people, listeners, agreeers and disagreeers, if I could say it that way. Kind of reservation talk. So, see you soon, but surely.
Listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Más pal